Yeah, so what I would say is start where you're at and start now. I mean, so many of us want to wait until all the traffic lights are green before we start. And we kind of have paralysis by analysis. We want to kind of cross all the T's and dot all the I's. Get started today. Start today. You know what that next step can be. And eventually you'll understand get the full picture. It's like walking through fog. Yeah, you can only see a couple feet in front of you. But as you continue to take those steps, you can see further and further and further. So start where you're at and start today.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
Welcome to the Professor of Perseverance Podcast. I'm the Professor of Perseverance himself, Dr. James Perdue. Today, our guest today is someone that's overcome, let's go ahead and put it this way, some type of scandal back in a small town in Pennsylvania. And if you ask this person, you know, what was life like, he would tell you, my life sucked. Man, what a way to describe your life at that time. My life sucked. Now, this guy here, his name is Nelson Tesler, and he's the CEO and founder of I Got Smarter Goals Elevated. And so in his memoir, his book called The Unlucky Sperm Club, you're not a victim of your circumstance, but a product of your choices. And he tells you, he describes it as a self-help book aimed at helping others accomplish their goal. Welcome to the show, Nelson.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for spending your time with us and helping us get through some difficult times as well. Yeah. If you don't, hey, I hope the new year started in great with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I'm looking forward to 2021. I'm sure a lot of people are.
A lot of people are looking to get out of that 2020, and hopefully things can only get better, we hope.
Yeah. So,
all right, Nelson, let's go ahead and jump in here, man. I'm one of them. I don't like to linger around. I mean, I'm fascinated by the title of your book. And so just jump on in there. What is your story, Bubba?
Yeah. So my mom became pregnant with me when she was 15 years old. And while she was pregnant with me, her father, who was the local trash collector in a small town in Pennsylvania, drove into the town square. There he saw two police officers. He stuck a gun out the window and opened fire on those police officers, killing one of them and critically wounding the other. And my grandfather was eventually captured and brought to stand trial, where he was facing the death penalty. And during his trial, my mom testified to the jury that the reason that her father had shot and killed that police officer was that the police officer had raped her, and she was now pregnant with his baby, who was me. And my mom's testimony worked. My grandfather's first trial ended in a hung jury. The second trial, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, which he ended up going to prison and spending the rest of his life there, more than 40 years, leaving behind his family, which consisted of 15 children, including my mom and now me, to deal with, you know, in the wake of the consequences of what he had done in that small town.
Wow, that's amazing. But to me, I mean, it's a good thing I wasn't on the jury, because to me, it'd be very understandable if someone was to rape, and I don't have any children, but if someone was to rape my daughter, I would be angry too. And I know the right thing is not to take justice in your own hand, but I can see it understandable.
Yeah. And in my book, The Unlucky Sperm Club, there's a lot of twists and turns to this story and to my life that I go into in this story. I don't want to get into them all now because I want, I want the.
Everything. Oh, you want people to buy your book. I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but there's a lot of things in there that, kind of went through my life and went through it that way. But yeah, in my life, actually, it didn't get any easier. I'm the son of a 15-year-old mother, and you have, of course, the trials and the tribulations that go along with that. But then my mom turns 21, and she meets a man who eventually would become my stepfather, and come to find out that he was an alcoholic and very physically and emotionally abusive to both me and my mom on a daily basis. And eventually my mom has 4 children with my stepdad. And because of the lifestyle that they're living, a lot of the basic needs for my siblings fall upon me being the oldest. And I'm helping feed and waking up at 2 o'clock to put babies to bed and changing diapers. And because of this, my mom would rather me stay home from school and help her then go to school. And I remember my 4th grade year looking down at my report card and seeing that I had received straight F's, and I shouldn't have been surprised. I probably missed 50 or 60 days of school that year. But because of that, I repeated the 4th grade. And at that time they placed me into special ed to get the help that I needed. Come to find out I had dyslexia. I couldn't read, couldn't write, still can't spell. And going through school like that, and eventually my stepfather was walking home drunk from a bar, and there was somebody else who was driving home drunk from that same bar, and they ended up hitting and killing him. And at this time, my mom has 5 small children. My baby sister is 3 or 4 months old. And so she has a bunch of kids under the age of 5. And as hard as her life has been to this point, losing my stepfather pretty much left her with no hope. She had dropped out of school in the 8th grade, so she had no education. She'd never worked outside of the home. And here she was left alone to raise 5 small children on her own. And it was at this time that she decided that she didn't want to, be here anymore. And she decided to take her own life. And fortunately, she was not successful. But when she did get out of the hospital after attempting suicide, she decided that she was not going to be able to take care of all of us on her own. And that's when my family got split up. And that's when I went to go live with my grandmother, who was the wife of the a man who shot and killed the police officer. And as I said, she had 15 children. Some of those children were still living at home. And because of the saint that my gram was, she was also raising some other grandchildren at the same time for various reasons. But I went to go live with her. And for the first time, I didn't have to worry about there being food in the refrigerator. I didn't have to worry about somebody coming home drunk and beating on me or my mom. And I didn't have to worry about taking care of babies anymore. And the one rule that my gram had was that she didn't really care how well you did at school, because education wasn't a big deal in our family. But she absolutely expected that you were going to go to school. And that was probably for her own sanity. With 15 kids, that was probably her only break ever, was when the kids went to school. So she definitely made us go to school. And for the first time in my life, I kind of understood that, hey, I wasn't necessarily stupid. It's just that I wasn't putting enough days together. I wasn't putting forth any kind of effort. And I realized that I could do it if I did try. And I remember one day a counselor came from the local university and talked about what it was going to take to get into college and what you needed to do when you got there. And for the first time in my life, I started to kind of reflect upon the direction my life was going, and determining that, my life sucked. And if I continued on the direction that I was going, that I was not going to live a fulfilling life. And it wasn't going to be the life that I wanted to live for me or for my future family. And I kind of looked at the college thing as, if I could graduate from college, all of my troubles would be over. And that's when I kind of looked at it and determined that, you know, what if I became that first person in my family? Now, to this point, my gram had 15 children. Only two of them had ever graduated from high school. None had even attended college. And here I am, you know, when you determine that you're going to try to do something that's going to be hard and difficult, that voice in the back of your brain starts screaming at you all the reasons that you shouldn't even attempt it. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, Nelson, you're in special ed. You can't read, you can't write, you can't spell. You come from a family that only two people had ever even graduated high school, let alone none had gone to college. And I start thinking to myself, I'd be lucky to graduate high school, let alone go to college. But as I said, you know, my life was not heading in the direction I wanted it to. And after that, I started to kind of do my best and do the things that I thought I needed to do in order to go to college. And, you know, 12 years after kind of setting that first goal, four different colleges, 4 years in the Air Force, I eventually was able to accomplish that goal and became the first person in my family to graduate from college.
That's awesome. The old story of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and going from there. Now, so when your mom got married, she said at 21, so I had to make you 6 or 7 years old. And yep. Then children come along. So now you're up, you're 8, 9, 10 years old, and you're having to grow up fast,
yeah,
real young. And that's very stressful and hard as well. But the growing up fast, that takes a lot on to you, and that makes your mindset, I don't know, makes it, I don't know, I guess it would make it stronger, even though you're so young, you don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I didn't realize life was any different. I mean, I had no contrast at this stage in my life. So I just kind of figured this is the way life was. This is the way everybody's parents were. And, you know, this is the way, you know, dads treated their wives and their children. And so, yeah, for the most part, early on, I just kind of chalked it up to the status quo and figured this was the way life was. And then eventually, as I, you know, as I started to be exposed to other people's families and I got into the Big Brother, Big Sister program, and I started to see some contrast and started to see that not everybody's family was like this. And absolutely, you know, dads didn't treat their wives and their children this way. And I realized that there were better alternatives out there. And that's when I started to kind of reflect upon my life and realize that it had kind of sucked up to that point.
And we, at that point, when we're so young, because my mom and dad, they divorced before my first birthday. So I never met my real dad, and he passed away. He was 35 and I was 12. And so I never met him. But again, growing up, we know what we know. Like you said, you thought all families were like this when she married the dad, the stepfather, being an alcoholic, a beater, you know, abusive. And you thought this is the way it is. So what? Yeah, I remember when she remarried when I was 6 or 7 years old. But at that point, I'm thinking there's no, you know, just moms. That's all I had was mom until she remarried. And fortunately, she married a guy that I consider my dad. You know, he wasn't abusive. He busted my butt when I needed it, and he loved me, especially when I needed it. So I was very blessed like that. So, and I'm so thankful to hear that your mom was unsuccessful in the suicide attempt.
Yeah. And you know, kind of along those same storyline, you know, I went to go live with my gram, but my three younger brothers stayed with my mom. And then my baby sister went to go live with one of my aunts. But my mom was eventually able to remarry. And she has been married for 35 years now to, you know, somebody who's was totally opposite. They would, you know, he would never dream of hurting her. He treats her like a princess and just, you know, loves her unconditionally and her, him. And, you know, the life that my mom is living today is totally opposite. You know, she's a totally different person than the person that she was under my, you know, my first stepdad.
Yes. We got someone in here, Nancy, and she just come on here a few minutes ago. I was talking to her beforehand. She's from New Jersey, and she wanted to know what year this took place. She thinks she vaguely remembers hearing about this.
Yeah, it was pretty promoted. I mean, it made it all the way up to the New York Times. It happened in 1971, October 1971.
All right. There you go, Nancy, 1971. Now, one of my big questions I used to ask people is what kind of support system you had? And you've already answered that pretty much. There was, other than Grammy and your mom doing the best she could, you really didn't have a support system to rely on. So what do you think is in you that would you were able to accept things, try to make it better, to move forward?
Yeah, you know, early on in life, you know, as a kid, I had a lot of animosity, a lot of anger, and I kind of took that out. I was a fighter in school, and anybody who kind of looked at me different, because, you know, I was in a small town. Everybody knew my backstory. Everybody knew, you know, our family and what had happened, and you know, here I am. The kid, the product of the rape. And so I always had to deal with that, you know, and I have some stories I wrote about in my book, The Unlucky Sperm Club, of how, you know, that affected me and what other families were doing to me and all those sorts of things. But I, you know, I think one day I just realized, you know, setting that first goal of changing the direction of my life, and graduating college and getting around some people. You know, I had a big brother from the Big Brother, Big Sister program, and seeing how that family, acted towards one another kind of changed. And I dated a girl all through high school, and the way that her family was, that gave me that contrast to think, you know what, this is the kind of family that I want to have. And I saw that, you know, I needed to start making those type of choices and, you know, doing good at school and eventually trying to get into college. And, you know, I played sports and I was able to take a lot of aggression out on the football field and wrestling. And so those type of things helped me. But, you know, not having a lot of good role models in my life, the one thing that I did know is I knew absolutely what I never wanted to be. And, you know, I saw how my stepfather treated his family and my mom and me. And, you know, I knew I never wanted to be like that. And even though I didn't have those clear role models, I knew what I didn't want to be. And all I started to do then was to make those type of choices to get me as far away from that type of person as I could be, and started to not make those type of choices and really focusing on getting as far away from that as I could.
Did you use your, or maybe not use, but or look to your coaches as a, I don't want to say father figure, but as a male role model?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of my coaches, you know, you look up to them. And when you're from a small town, I mean, your school teachers and your coaches are like rock stars anyhow. So yeah, I absolutely looked for those guys. And I had some good uncles. You know, I write about my Uncle Bub in my book and the knowledge that he kind of passed along to me. So, I mean, I had people like that were looking out for me. So I definitely wasn't just left alone. And then my stepfather, who I call my father as well, came into my life. And even though I wasn't living with my mom, he absolutely looked at me as a son and treated me like a son and helped me. So I definitely wasn't alone. I had a lot of people who were looking out for me, and I was looking at the role models and kind of taking away from each one of those kind of what I could use in my life to further it along.
As you again, were helped taking care of your siblings, you're having to grow up fast, which also means maybe you matured a little faster as well, because there's a lot of kids I used to teach as well, and the seventh graders, and their seventh graders come in as immature as everybody you can call, get well out. And then there's others that seem way mature than they should be. But I would think that with you, again, providing help with the family maturing is why you was able to see this is what I don't want.
Yeah.
The way the father, you know, your father treated, your stepfather treated there. So you knew this is not what I wanted or this is not right.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Like I said, from a very young age, because of the way my mom and stepfather were living, a lot of things fell upon me and I was exposed to a ton of things. I mean, we were dirt poor. I mean, when I mean poor, I'm talking like opening up the refrigerator and nothing being in there but some half-used condiments. And, you know, it was a crapshoot whether or not the lights were going to come on when you hit the switch and, you know, the heat being turned off, the lights being turned off. So, you know, I think when you're placed in that situation and caring for your siblings, you have to grow up fast and mature fast and have maybe a different point of view on the way the world works than, you know, somebody who's brought up in a more traditional household.
And Nancy, she says she does remember hearing about this when she was growing up, and she relates to the suicide. She was suicidal herself. And Nancy, thankfully, you're still here as well. We're blessed to have you here. So,
yeah.
All right. What? I mean, everything you're giving so far is just things I've talked about, you know, because of being so positive, the mindset changing, that you're able to persevere through. I tell people they persevere through their own paralysis. I'm paralyzed from playing football. I got my neck broke playing football. And so I tell people to persevere past their paralysis, which again, persevere through all their challenges is basically what we're saying. And yeah. So you know, everything that you're putting together here just makes sense to me. So yeah. Could you tell us a little bit more about your book? I'll put it up here and how we can get a hold of it and everything. And again, the book title is,
yeah,
The Unlucky Sperm Club. That what caught me when I first saw that is The Unlucky Sperm Club. And then it's, you're not a victim of your circumstances, but a product of your choice, of your choices.
Yeah. And I mean, the title, now that you've heard my backstory, I'm guessing you can figure out why I came up with that title. And I think there's a lot of people out there who feel like they were either born in a bad situation or they find themselves in a bad situation now. And that's what I wanted to write this book about. You know, I've had some really decent success after graduating from college. I became the top salesman in the world for a top five commercial real estate firm. I've been able to start, you know, multiple businesses, including one of the largest privately held pet resort chains in the country. And I was able to sell that and exit from that business. And it left me with kind of what was I going to do with the rest of my life? And I'm not that type of guy who wants to set on the beach and watch sunsets for the rest of my life. I feel like I'm still young and I feel like I still have a lot to add to this world. And as I was kind of reflecting on what I wanted to do, I started to think about the life that I had lived and especially that early life and why I had, you know, lived that type of life. And the only person who knew about that story was my wife. And I felt kind of Because I had moved away, I had joined the Air Force, and I never went back to live in that town. And so my wife knew about those circumstances, but nobody else did because it drained me and I ran away from that. I mean, I didn't want to be associated with what my grandfather had done and what I represented. So I told my wife, I figured she deserved to know that before she said, I do. And fortunately for me, she was understanding and did say, I do, but never told my kids, never told my in-laws, never told my sons, because I just wanted it to be over. But then I started to reflect and say, you know what, maybe I lived that life so that I could help others. And instead of it draining me and weakening me, that those circumstances, I started to gain energy from it. And I started to be strengthened by it and realizing that, you know, I had survived and succeeded in spite of that. And maybe my story could help other people's story. And that's when I kind of determined that I was going to write this book, The Unlucky Sperm Club. And I started a program, which is an app that helps other people achieve their goals and focus on becoming the best version of themselves through our program called I Got Smarter. And so that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. You know, my book, I just released it in November, and it is doing well beyond what I ever imagined. It's on Amazon. You can purchase it at the Unlucky Sperm Club, and it's getting great reviews, and I'm hearing so much positive feedback. But I want people to realize that, you know, through, you know, my origin story, that it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And I'm not close to being finished yet, but I'm definitely heading in a far different direction than I was before. And that's what this book is all about, is giving people help and inspiration and the knowledge to know that it's possible. And once you give somebody that knowledge that it's possible, they'll never be the same again. And that's what I'm hearing from the feedback from this book, is people realizing that, you know, one, they're feeling kind of, everybody has their own stories and their own struggles, but they're hearing, you know, this story and they're realizing that the situation that they're in is definitely something that they can overcome. And it's given them that motivation, that inspiration to take control of their own lives and to set out and start to design the life that they were meant to live.
Again, when you provide that it's possible to get through everything, that gives them hope that there is a next level, a better level where they're at, and go from there. I teach I call it the ABCs of overcoming adversities. And so A is, the sooner we can accept the adversity, we can move forward. B, begin that battle. And now we look at resources, mentor, coaching, whatever, to keep us accountable to move forward. And then C, let's conquer the challenge. So I teach the ABCs with some people.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
So appreciate it, Nelson. Hey, Nelson, you're actually the second person. I met this one person, this has got to be close 20 years ago, was the first person that I've met is from a child produced from rape. And thankfully, on both of the two, now I know there's more people out there than only two. I know that. But openly up front, people coming out telling it, you know, that they're produced from a rape. And yeah, I mean, you two so far, I'm at 100%, so much positive, so much perseverance, so much looking forward, moving ahead. And thankfully, again, abortions weren't taking place, because look what both of you are putting out there to help out society. So I'm thankful that your mom and family did not look towards the abortion to be able to hide. And I mean, look where you're at, and how you're helping everybody else.
Yeah. And again, you know, there's a lot of twists and turns in my story. And as far as, becoming, being born. So, yeah. And I think in the book it explains a lot of it. And absolutely. There's all of us have this huge potential. And that's what I'm trying to kind of convey with my book, The Unlucky Sperm Club, and this new program called I Got Smarter with the App. And what that does is, you know, we don't have a knowledge problem when it comes to achieving our goals. We typically know what we need to do, or at least what the next step could be. We have an execution problem. We just don't follow through with what we know we need to do when we need to do it. And that's what this program, I Got Smarter with the App, helps you do. You know, there it's a full blown program that, you know, gets you going in the morning with your morning ritual. It teaches you how to write a proper goal and how to focus on a goal and how to do something every single day to achieve that goal. And then we allow through the app for you to be able to invite a success partner, as we call them, to help each other stay accountable to do what you said you were going to do. And we find that, with that success partner, you're 95% more likely to achieve your goals. And we have been getting, you know, great feedback from the program, you know, life, people changing their lives, you know, from all the way down to people who have never been able to stick to a goal, you know, past a week or two, to people who feel like they are great at goals, taking it to a whole new level with the I Got Smarter program.
And see, I go back to just a short time we've talked here. I go back to, even though it was rough at 8, 19 years old, raising siblings, that has launched you way years in advance to be able to, because what was your goal then? To help take care of your family. I mean, that may have been the only goal you had, but at 8 years old, that's a huge goal. And that has helped you keep your mind straight to be able to set goals to be successful in other areas and other businesses, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite quotes is, things only have the meaning you're willing to give them. And that's one of the things that I've kind of, as I've moved into I Got Smarter, is giving my origin story a different meaning, giving it a positive meaning, an opportunity, you know, that I can share this story after I've made it through it to let others know that they can absolutely do the same thing. And I know there's people out there who are, you know, in much worse situation than I was, but I'm telling you, no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what circumstances you find yourself currently in, you can absolutely change it by making different choices. And that's why we designed I Got Smarter, is to help give them all the right tools, the knowledge, and especially the support to make those different choices so that they can start to design the life that they want to live.
Amen, brother. Well, Nelson, I appreciate you being here. We're going to get ready and wrap up. It's been so amazing with your story, again, staying positive. I mean, even, again, so young, having to grow up so fast that, you had to look on the better side of life and know that it's gotten better. It's got to get better and changing. And so I'm glad your Grammy was one that able to take you in, because, again, if nothing else, she says, I don't care what you're going to get in your grade, but you're going to school.
Yeah.
And I've actually talked to other students that I had, and they would tell me some of their stories growing up, and not that it's similar to yours, but it's basic to yours. And I would tell them, well, there's one way you can get out of it. Get an education, you know, learn. The better your education, the better job you can get, the better place you can get out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my Gram, I love her more than anything, you know, and she's passed away about 5 years ago. But yeah, I mean, I look back and how different my life could be without her in it and being such a big part of my life. I mean, that the one thing that she has told me my entire life is, Nelson, you're going to make something out of your life. And she told me that so many times that I actually started to believe it. And I owe so much to her and appreciate her.
Plant the seed and let it grow. Yeah. So, Nelson, if you can finish up and give us a powerful statement that's going to help someone that's struggling today to get them through today. Yeah. You just give it a powerful statement, please.
Yeah. So what I would say is start where you're at and start now. I mean, so many of us want to wait until all the traffic lights are green before we start. And we kind of have paralysis by analysis. We want to kind of cross all the T's and dot all the I's. Get started today. Start today. You know what that next step can be. And eventually you'll understand get the full picture. It's like walking through fog. Yeah, you can only see a couple feet in front of you. But as you continue to take those steps, you can see further and further and further. So start where you're at and start today.
Don't wait for a perfect time. Wait for now. Go and move on. That's correct. All right. Thank you. Let me put your book up one more time for everyone that's coming in looking again. The Unlucky Sperm Club. Go get it on Amazon. Do you say your website you had for this as well?
Yeah. I mean, Amazon's probably the easiest. Just type easiest in.
To get to. And there. So the Unlucky Sperm Club, you are not a victim of your circumstances, but a product of your choices. And check out his app, I Got Smarter. It's for Goals Elevated, and check out his Nelson's app as well. Everyone else, Nelson, thank you for being in. Nancy, thanks for coming in. Everybody on the replay, be sure to like and share. Give this out to share this to someone you know it's struggling to help them get through. This is an amazing story. Man, I wish I had another 4 hours we could go over this, and then we can all have the book basically in our head. So, all right. Thank you, everybody. Do something today, tomorrow. Something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.